The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. Eric Nelson along with Kevin Flash DeFrango. What's going on, man?
Did you say Slash?
I did say Flash. See, I don't know if you, if I've ever told you this, but I've officially in my own brain nicknamed you Kevin Flash DeFrango, and that other guy is Golden Boy Jeremy Mays. It's after your alma mater.
Flash. I thought you said Flash with
Flash
an
like
F.
Flash Cordell Stewart? No, Flash like,
yeah.
Show me your wiener, Flash. I mean, that you're going fast, Flash, like Flash Gordon. Or like, show
yeah.
me your wiener like Flash Gordon. Okay.
Well, it would be nice if I could flash my wiener to somebody of the opposite gender, but, you know.
well, I don't know what's stopping you other than the law, but.
Oh, yes, there is that minor problem.
Yeah, in fact, you had an audience of about 10,000 people last night that you could have flashed.
Yes, I could have. And it probably was not any more than 10,000 people. As my picture, I hope, depicted well. I mean, I got down there at what I felt like was kind of the last moment, because I really did think that a lot of Raw happenings started at 7:45 for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And they probably didn't start until about 8:20 or something like that.
Gotcha. Well, it sounds like they had plenty of happenings before the show, not as many after, but plenty of stuff to talk about, just in case you're, for some reason, one of the 12 people who go to the site but are one of the 11 people who listen to the show. Or now that wouldn't be the way it works. I don't know. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, in case you've missed it, Kevin went to Monday Night Raw last night at the, what is it called, the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio?
And that is correct, my good sir.
All right. And so you made a full report via Twitter from the show, live from the show last night, and then compiled your tweets and turned them into a post at stuntgranny.com for the world to read, and I think you maybe elaborated too on your posts. I guess, yeah, so we've got everything from the obligatory how is the crowd questions all the way up to did that woman actually flash CM Punk? So let's start from the beginning. I'm going to go ahead and call up this picture here of the parking lot, and yeah, it looks like you actually, it looks like the show was held at a flea market for crying out loud.
No, I'm just too cheap to pay for parking that's any more expensive than that $5 for the most part.
Okay.
So, and if for whatever reason, they have not deemed it worthwhile, even though they charge money pretty much year-round for games of some sort there. No one has found it fit to, pay that area.
Yeah, apparently not. It just kind of looks like on off days, a bunch of pickup trucks set up there and try to sell laptops out of the back of their pickup or old wrestling VHS tapes. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I've never been to Columbus, and I would like to go to Columbus sometime, and if, God forbid, going to Miami for WrestleMania doesn't work out in 2012, then for all of us anyway, I may be descending upon your house in Columbus. Hell, I might go to Columbus. Even if you go to Miami, I might still go to Columbus to watch WrestleMania at your house just for a change of scenery.
Hey, there's always a spare set of keys around somewhere, so I'm sure I could leave them for you.
All right, good deal. I want to refer to, if I can find it here quickly, prowrestling.net had plenty of on camera and off camera happenings too. Somebody posted that the Nationwide Arena was pretty full. Behind the hard camera was the only place tarped off. And you made a similar comment. I'm pretty sure the upper deck is only open across from the hard camera. How big is Nationwide, and about how many people do you think were there?
I would say there was probably 8 to 10 there, because the lower bowl was pretty packed. There were a couple of little pockets that I didn't see people at, but I'm not even sure. After kind of looking around, it seems like the only people, or the only places that were open up above,
mm-hmm.
the luxury boxes.
Okay.
And because I could be wrong that, because I thought I saw more people up there, but I was at such an angle that it was impossible to really tell who was up there.
Sure.
I mean, the upper deck, I was far enough back because I completely forgotten to buy the tickets when they went on. I saw the pre-sale and, probably had to do work or something on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And completely forgot about the sale. And I was like, I got a reminder from Ticketmaster, probably a week later or something that tickets were still on sale.
Okay.
So they might not have been quite as good as before and given me a better angle if I'd bought them earlier to see up there. But considering that it's easy to leave there when it's a packed house. And I know I'm kind of jumping to the end, but this also kind of illustrates that it couldn't have been much more than 8 to 10,000 people. I got in my car and got straight on 315 and got myself home in 15 minutes, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's quick. And, even when I get out of a hockey game quickly, even when it's not a packed house, it probably takes me 20 minutes.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's does that speak, do you think, to the engineering of the building or the parking availability or That's unheard of. I mean, my God.
Yeah, no, they actually
did. We've done entire audios in parking lots just waiting to get the hell out. I mean, granted, that was WrestleMania, and granted, that was fucked up old Detroit, but, my God, to be able to get out of a sporting event in 15 or 20 minutes is incredible.
No, they did a parking study down there, and as I believe they do most of the times now, but sometimes the study doesn't always work out as well as they would have liked. Well, this one definitely does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can get out of there relatively quickly, but, like, I didn't really have anyone in my way. Like, it wasn't like I was jumping around the crowd trying to, just speed up my walking pace or anything like that. It was just like I was gone.
Yeah. Wow. I know there are businesses out there that consult for buildings and organizations that maybe aren't making the most use out of their building space and their area. There's got to be a business in this to figure out how to better engineer some of these fucking parking lots that are just impossible to get out of. I wonder if we can make some money doing that.
Well, I bet you we could. But,
I know you know a little something about building things, and I know a little something about being pissed off. I think that if we combine our talents, we could figure out how to build things that keep from people getting pissed off. Just a thought.
Yeah. But traffic isn't really the topic of the day.
Oh, okay. That's true. Talk about Columbus. I know you've been to a few wrestling shows in Columbus, Ohio, and that's actually a fun topic of ours sometimes is the better wrestling crowds and the shittier wrestling crowds. What do you make of Columbus as a wrestling town and the reaction that the WWE usually gets when wrestling comes to town?
It's okay. Like, I mean, it wouldn't be anywhere near you know, like, what do I usually rank at the top? Chicago and Dallas are probably my two ones. And then the worst, I always go to Anaheim. That's my go-to for just the completely shit-tastic crowd.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Cleveland's not terribly good either. But I would, let's see, let's say I would put it probably a bit closer to the bad crowds than I would the great crowds.
Okay.
But
are they
I was kind of surprised, and I didn't really listen to the show that much. I was surprised that a couple of times on .NET, Powell mentioned that the crowd was sitting on their hands, and I was just like, huh. Like,
yeah.
I didn't think it was that quiet there.
Well, I guess another question, too, is the Columbus crowd kind of that, like, you know, cheer the baby face, boo the heel type of crowd, or, you know, did you notice more adults than kids? Or more kids than adults? Would it look like there are families there? Or what was the makeup of the crowd? And how many of them had championship belts in their inside their own custom fitted bags?
Oh, not many, but there were way too many adults with title belts, honestly.
Uh-huh.
And what the hell? Yeah, no, it was a pretty good mix. There were a lot of kids. I loved the roly-poly fat African-American kid in front of me who had the white father, which was quite entertaining. And there were a whole row of parents and kids behind me.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I mean, I did see a lot of families. There obviously weren't a whole lot of white males going there by themselves,
right.
Much like myself. To go enjoy
yeah.
some wrestling.
Is there a special gate for you guys?
Yeah, the potential child rapist gate.
Yeah, and the concession stand. Like, I don't have a friend to come with. I'm gonna cozy up with this 16-ounce cup of $7 beer.
Oh, well, and this it's the worst. It's the second worst arena in the NHL to buy. Alcohol at.
How was that?
Because
why?
The fucking weird lease that they got just to get the thing built downtown, they had to, you know, come up with some screwy financing. So
yeah.
They own the building, but they pretty much don't have any outside revenue. Well, much kind of like that parking lot. That isn't owned by Nationwide Arena or anything like that. Normally, the arena gets some type of money for parking.
Right.
And they don't, aside from this little teeny tiny parking spot. And there is not a chance in hell that I'm going to park there unless someone paid me to park there.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's always like three times the amount. And it's just like you can park across the street. And where I park there in that shit lot, it isn't really much further away.
Okay.
You know, okay, so maybe you need to walk about a block extra or something.
Sure.
But that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll save my $10 because it's probably $15 to park down there. And
sure.
I'll walk. I'm able-bodied.
You know what? If you're in your own hometown, that makes it a hell of a lot easier, too. I noticed when I went to SmackDown at the end of May, Wells Fargo, it's, you know, it's a good size arena now, especially for Des Moines. It might actually be the same size as Nationwide or maybe a couple thousand smaller. If you just, you know, look, do your research, figure out where to park, you know, and just find a side street. Or that's what I did. I found a side street. By the time I parked, you didn't have to feed the meters anymore. And I got the hell out of there immediately. I guess same as you. Yeah, you know, you walk an extra block, but so what? If you can't walk a fucking city block in your own hometown, you might want to consider moving.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah. Let's get into the matches here. A dark match, Drew McIntyre versus Primo. That just has "who the fuck cares" written all over it.
That's why I was completely... surprised by the reaction that Drew McIntyre got.
Yeah.
Of the, because what, there was a tag, yeah, there was the tag team match after that.
Right.
And what was the kind of the semi-main event?
Oh, Punk had a match, but you're thinking probably the match right before the main event, right?
JTG versus Mason Ryan.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. What? By the way, Faye, I appreciate the shout out for the pump handle slam finisher. God, what a bunch of bullshit. Test is rolling over in his fucking steroid laden grave. My God.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, the tag team match was kind of the main event.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, so out of the other six superstars that came out there, Drew McIntyre. Yeah. Drew McIntyre easily got the best response. Like, I would have put him somewhere, probably not in the top five pop department, but it was weird. Like, he's probably, like, somewhere, like, six or seven, something like that.
That's, you know what, it's just got to be the first guy out, you know. Even if Primo was technically the first guy out, I mean, still, he's a goddamn jobber at this point. If 50% of the audience still remembers Carlito and Primo as a tag team, I'd eat my hat. So Drew McIntyre was probably the first guy to get announced, and that has to account for 90% of the reaction for him.
Yeah, but he still got the same reaction after he won the match, though. Like, it's okay if you're excited, you know, to start the night off or something, but dear Lord, after the match, like, don't you realize, oh, shit, this is Drew McIntyre.
I know. You know,
which,
I don't know.
Which was the other entertaining part of it. Is that the fat Asian kid to my left?
Yeah.
He was super cynic, motherfucker. And then behind me to my right, there was the family that had someone there that doesn't normally watch wrestling, so they had to explain everything, which was amusing.
Oh, God, that's great.
And B, more amusingly, thought it was real for the most part to them.
Oh boy!
And
yep.
Not even like I saw that somebody had a sign that a bunch of nitwit younger gentlemen had a "It's still real to me, damn it" sign in the crowd, like four of them or something.
Okay.
And yeah, no, they weren't like mockingly saying it's real. It was like a. They were concerned for, you know, people's well-beings at times of peril.
Right. They really thought John Cena was going to get beat up by four people.
Yeah.
God.
Oh,
yep. What a cross-section of Americana you get at these things. It sounds like you're half surrounded by, like, the overweight United Nations. And
well,
the rest of it
yeah.
is just a bunch of fucking Mensa members. and the world champion was walking around in front of you too.
Yeah, he was. Oh God, and you know what? I completely forgot about that, but that can wait till later.
Okay. Well, and interject it if I don't get to whatever you're gonna say.
Yeah well, just remind me, just prod me when we get to Del Rio, and we'll be okay.
Sure. Yeah. What was the other? So we had Mason Ryan and JTG. Let's see. What was the other superstars match? What an interesting collection of superstars. Here
yeah,
we go. Tyler. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Tyler Rex and Kurt Hawkins. Dude. And apparently NXT. I don't even know if NXT exists anymore. I'm not going to lie. I really don't know. Titus O'Neil and Percy Watson. I can't imagine what those guys have in common that they'd be a tag team.
Yeah, well, and that was the other thing, that it was kind of funny But also not funny, the fat Asian kid kept on saying the white people are going to win all night long.
Nice.
And it was kind of funny, but it kind of got annoying, especially after Kofi and Evan Bourne, when he goes, oh, well, there's going to be someone white that wins on the team. And I'm like, well, shit, like when 90% of, okay, like 80% of the wrestling or wrestlers are white, like you're kind of hedging your bets a lot. If I could be right 80% of the time, it would be really easy to say something like that.
Yeah, no kidding. It's funny. It's funny to me since you said it once, but maybe sitting next to it all night long, it would get annoying, but that's kind of funny. And hey,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure Evan Bourne got the pin in that match too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And it was just the snarkiness. Like, I honestly don't, and I think I said that. Like, I don't know why you'd shuck out. Like, I think it was like after, I think it was $47 for the ticket, and then like $5 to, you know, be raped in the ass.
Uh-huh.
By Ticketmaster. And, I guess if I really thought it was that shitastic, I wouldn't have gone.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
if you already know how the movie ends, why go, right?
Yeah, and, like, I know that I've joked about going to TNA, but, A, we actually have a site, and the dude didn't seem like he had it. And,
yeah.
it just doesn't seem like a good way to spend my Monday night if I don't really like it at all.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Like, I know that there are aspects that we bitch about and we tend to harp on them because, that's what you have to do, but...
Yeah.
I still, for the most part, enjoy it. I don't mind shucking out the money to go see one of their events.
Right. Well, if nothing else, they've provided us with a couple minutes of comic relief.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. What else? I like this comment on here. So I'm going chronologically through your tweets, too, and you mentioned that CM Punk was working the crowd even when he wasn't on camera. So is this a comment for after the initial promo?
Oh, my gosh. No. There were a couple of things that I wanted to go back and check on the DVR.
Yep.
The whole time Nash and Triple H are arguing, he's just doing all kinds. Like, he wasn't doing it constantly, but he was doing it just enough at kind of big points where he just kept on hamming up different shit to the crowd. Like, when there was a revelation or something, he'd kind of go, ooh, and he'd, like, cover his mouth with his hand, and you could see his mouth making a big O and
awesome.
Shit like that. Like, he just kept on doing stuff like that.
That's
like
funny.
Putting his hands on his hips. It's just like, oh my God, dude, you're killing me here. And I think there was maybe one shot of him when they kind of went wide and they just barely showed him on the right hand side, like right when they were wrapping up their end of things.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah. No, it was just hysterical to just watch him. Like, I talk about it all the time, but his facials and his expressions and everything just, always, they're just dead on. Like, they're entertaining. Like, you can see them. And I mean, I was way back towards the entrance, so it wasn't like I was up on the ring or anything, and it was easy for me to see. Like, he was just hamming it up.
Yeah. I mean, he's out there having a good time. Really, I think that's the key to it. The only thing I really just hope that, and you know, this gets into the content of the show and any concerns about booking and everything like that. We don't need to get too deeply into that, but there's a discussion at the PWTorch.com forum about just aspects of this angle going a little bit too far and possibly turning people off. And I hope Punk never gets to a point where he's teetering on the not believable. You know, it'd be... the Gibson guy, Gibson whatever, drew a parallel in the Bruce Mitchell zone where he said, hey, Bruce, in 1987 on the lead-up to WrestleMania 3,
if Hulk Hogan would have come out and said, Andre the Giant's a 40-year-old broken-down man with a bad back and no chance of beating me and can't cut a promo to save his life. And then Andre the Giant came out and said, yeah, well, Hulk Hogan, I used to beat you up and down the fucking East Coast every night of the week in 1980, and I don't know who you think you are now. He said, you think that would have sold out WrestleMania 3? And Bruce says, no. And so I guess the parallel there is, I hope it doesn't get to a point where CM Punk and Kevin Nash spend so much time running each other down just to make people laugh, and Punk, like, overselling things and being a little too comical to where it doesn't get the point across, you know. It's funny, and I agree, it's entertaining as hell to watch him do it, but I'm almost like, be careful, man, before you start doing that at the expense of drawing money.
Oh, well, I do not think that he was having any problems drawing money if I did not make that point clear enough, talking about merchandise sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys are worried about that, you guys are, well, I would say dead wrong.
Well, there you go. I mean, we're, you know, the discussion's also come up at the Torch Forum about ratings, and, you know, the ratings are either down a little or hovering around the average as opposed to skyrocketing based on what's going on. But at the same time, pay-per-view numbers are going up, which means what they're doing is they're turning more of their viewers into pay-per-view customers, which is exactly what you want to have happen, you know.
Right.
Like, if you're drawing, you know, 360,000 pay-per-view buys or whatever, that's fantastic. That's, you know, almost double what they got last year for some of these offshoot pay-per-views. So, you know, well, the difference between a 3-2 last year and a 3-1 this year versus, like, 200,000 buys last year and 350 this year, mm-hmm. they're obviously doing something right. So, I mean, I guess anybody could argue both sides of the thing if they wanted to. But, you know, like you said, proof is in the pudding. CM Punk Best in the World t-shirts are selling like hotcakes.
yeah. And, well, I mean, oh, hold on, what the fuck point was I going to make there? It was something kind of in the middle of your speech there.
Hmm.
Oh, well, and you can't expect this thing to turn around. Like, you can't expect the ratings to, like, shoot through the roof because one guy had a great promo and kind of keeps on cutting them. Like,
yeah.
You know, you can't expect, oh, yeah, like, your rating's going to jump to a 4 already or something like that. Like,
right.
I think we can kind of continually talk about it. Any sort of consistency there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before people are going to hop on the bandwagon, you know, it's going to take a while. You know, I don't think everyone started to watch wrestling again as soon as the NWO came over to WCW.
Right. It's always been gradual. Same when Raw, you know, got back to the top of the ratings over Nitro. It was gradual. You can follow the steady climb. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think, you know, they won a week of the ratings over Nitro, I think, right after WrestleMania 14. But, God, I think it took 3 months before they were consistently beating Nitro. So, yeah, again, you know, if somebody's making money, that's the whole point.
They're still doing, I mean, they're doing okay. I mean, he's definitely getting, reaction-wise, I know this might be for later or whatnot, but I don't know. It's a bit of a toss-up between Cena and Orton, and I guess this kind of goes back to your who were they rooting for crowd.
Yeah.
And, I don't know who they, you know, like, there were definitely some people that weren't big Cena fans in the area, but that crowd pretty much blew up. And, I mean, when you get that first initial pop, especially since he didn't come out until so late in the program,
yeah,
that everyone that wanted to vocalize about him all vocalized at one point, and it sounded the loudest.
Okay. Honestly, not to interrupt, but perception is a big part of this. And there was a post, well, it was not a post, but a note on somebody's, you know, off-air, I'm trying to find it here real quick, on-site maybe, Randy Orton getting a huge pop from the crowd But CM Punk, this person writes, the more it seemed like Raw was becoming the CM Punk show, the more it seemed like he was losing the fans. And then in parentheses, except, of course, for the vocal male crowd. So, you know, it's something that I talked about with, I think, Dusty maybe on a podcast a while ago when Punk, you know, he got his new music one week. And then the following week, he and Cena did that thing where they raised the belt and that guy's music would play. And then the other guy raised the belt and his music would play. And they went back and forth like six times before the show went off the air. Overkill is overkill. And that's another place where I think WWE needs to really be careful what they're doing, because they've got this hot commodity, CM Punk. And if you have him come out at the beginning of the show to his music, he's going to get a big pop. And if you have him come out in the middle of the show to his music, he's going to get a mild pop. And if you have him come out at the end to his theme music, he's going to get a hell of a lot less of a pop. And because of that, then the perception of Randy Orton getting, you know, this wild-ass reaction from the crowd. Actually, I think that's what people are going to remember, you know. It's like, oh, Punk.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Orton.
Well, and it's funny that you worded it that way, too, because, again, kind of going with some of the people behind me, I saw there was definitely this very vocal section of Punk fans that all had the shirts on across the arena, and
yeah,
they started a CM Punk chant after his match and everything, and the person behind me just said, "We've seen him enough tonight. Let's see somebody else."
Wow. Well, you know,
And I couldn't disagree with him. I mean, he'd been out, what, three times already?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's exactly it,
you know. I don't know what – we'd all have to really think about this and figure out, you know. Obviously, they were doing something different with Steve Austin back in 98 when they had him in, like, literally every quarter hour of the show. I think what they did differently was they only brought him out in front of the crowd once. You know, everything else was backstage or slapping around Gerald Briscoe or driving a pickup truck around the parking lot or something. But they only really trotted him out once every show in front of the crowd so they'd go apeshit. It's just one of those things, you know. They got to be a lot more careful about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that would be something that I just feel like I've been disagreeing with you a lot or something, or at least providing some type of alternative. And that is one that I'm not going to argue with, because it did seem like the people there. And, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess he had only been out twice, but he was in the long opening segment, or, you know, I don't know, it did actually kind of feel short-ish to me for an opening segment.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out before the commercial break there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the little Triple H, you know, he had the secondary promo there of Triple H after the match, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he had definitely gotten his TV time. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's like, okay, let's move on along here. I agree. As much as I like CM Punk, you know, let's move along here.
Right. Up to this point, anything else happened off air that you're sure of that happened off air that no one's really talked about? Well, I guess that's not the important thing, but that happened off air that we obviously didn't see on TV, you know, Punk do this, or I think you mentioned to me, I think it was off air, that Miz and R-Truth came out to do something and then were reintroduced.
Oh.
Any other little nuggets or tidbits of things that happened off air that we need to know about?
Well, I don't know about need to know about, but let's see here. I'm trying to think. Oh, okay. Yeah, they did the whole, I still love, they did, after Kelly came out right before the commercial break,
uh-huh,
they did her spot with Maxim.
Oh.
And it was kind of funny how they they co-opted, I believe it was that Carrie Hilson that sang America the Beautiful at WrestleMania, am I not correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, I guess I hadn't realized that she was the, probably because I fast-forward through it when I'm here, that she was the one person saying, oh, I've been trying to get on there for so long and I haven't been able to do it yet.
Okay.
But I do. It continually cracks me up that they don't say what spot she was in. Like, it's too low for them to admit that she is, you know, that low.
Right.
And that wrestling,
well, the top
wrestling doesn't
right?
mean enough. Yeah, it's top 100.
I have a feeling for some reason the number 86 or something low stands out in my head. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where the PR department of WWE is very smart in how they present things. Again, perception, you know. You don't come right out and say number 86 was 86. You just say she was in the top 100.
Yep.
So, they've got their way of doing things.
Yeah, so there was that, and then Eve also came out, well, obviously, I think, because she
right.
was already in the ring.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that was what was really strange. There wasn't a whole lot of pyro as a general whole. Like, I remember being startled when Kofi and Evan Bourne came out.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, whoa, because I think that was the first set of fireworks that went off.
Well, you need that when you have a shit wrestler like Kofi Kingston, who on his own right should get zero reaction from the crowd. So, give him a heart attack and set off the ambulance sirens with pyro for that asshole.
That was something, though, you may have liked me noting the pump handle slam. You will probably not enjoy the fact that Kofi would probably have to be in the somewhere in that five slot, I'm thinking, for reaction.
That's horseshit. I mean, it's probably true, but it's horseshit that it happened. Thanks a lot, Columbus, for ruining all my theories about life.
Well,
can't win them all, I guess.
Yeah.
Speaking of tag teams, though, I'm intrigued again by this. Now, we've got a new match for Night of Champions. We've got the WWE Tag Team Champions, Air Boom.
Oh.
One of the dumbest names I've ever heard of in my life. Taking on The Miz and R-Truth. And you mentioned, I said this a second ago, that Miz and R-Truth, they had their promo segment, but something about they were reintroduced. It's always funny to hear, you know, what happened or, you know, on the tape shows, when things get retaped, you know, because the first time it sucked so bad.
Right.
What happened and what did it, I mean, what would be the benefit of bringing guys out? And I'm sure it was for their, I don't know, bring them out again to their music or what? What's the point?
Well, it was even stranger because CM Punk comes out watching it back here and not for, you know, too much stuff. But you see CM Punk come in and jaw at them a little bit. Well, they go to commercial break as he's standing on the top ropes. And Miz and R-Truth went the whole way to the back, waited like a minute or something, and then R-Truth got introed by Justin Roberts to the Miz's music.
Okay.
Yeah, like they used the Truth's music earlier, so I'm like, what? What the hell?
Weird.
Okay. Whatever.
That's strange.
Yeah, so they had to have this little awkward part where CM Punk's kind of sitting there jawing at them as they go to the back. And then he can't, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, hold on, aren't they wrestling?
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, he comes, you know, right back out like a minute later with both of them.
Weird.
Yeah, it was really kind of confusing. And, you know, again, it's all not on camera, so it's like, I don't know, do you think they can't coexist together in the ring for that amount of time without having a match or something?
Right, yeah. I don't know.
It was a bit of a head-scratcher.
It sounds like it. Oh, let's see, yeah, and then Curt Hawkins and Tyler Rex. All right, I'm just freaking blown away by that. I'm skimming through everything. It looked like there was a lot of talk, and I mean, this is another one of those. Actually, let me ask you this: if you remember what type of reaction Zack Ryder got, let's see. You said big reaction for Air Boom. There's something about women. I'm looking through. By the way, I like your fashion critique of Miz. I appreciate that. There's only so much cross hats you should wear before you start looking like a tablecloth or like a checkerboard or something like that. Like,
yeah,
I saw a guy today wearing like a, what was he wearing? A black shirt with like some sort of striped pinstripe pants. I'm like, I literally, as soon as I saw that, I thought Kevin would approve of this guy's outfit.
Based on the cross-hatching. Yeah, the plaid on the pants just really doesn't work for me at all.
Yeah.
It just looks terrible.
I went to a wedding earlier this summer where there were two assholes that, like, it was a bunch of high school friends and then a smattering of college friends, and I was the oddball. I didn't really know anybody except for a small number of people there. There were two guys who showed up for the express purpose of being assholes with their top button of their shirt unbuttoned, mustaches shaved into their faces because that's the shitty thing to do now if you're a prick. Sorry if you have one. I haven't seen you in a couple months. But seriously, mustaches? Why? There's no good reason for it. And plaid pants.
Yeah.
I'm like, plaid pants are the wedding asshole number one tool. So, yeah, you're right. There are a lot of reasons why it doesn't work, but for me, that's one of them right there.
Yeah, well, if you, like, I think I've seen Teddy Long pull it off.
Wow.
But and he has that. He went full in on the plaid.
Yeah.
Like, it just, and I think I kind of clarified that in my commentary. Like, the Miz's was just, like, to me, plaid has different colors, and you get a bit of a checkerboard look going on. But when you just have stripes and then solid pattern, and it's the same color everywhere, it's just a crosshatch then.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't work.
I think Teddy Long went all in and actually did plaid, you know, to me. I know that maybe my definition's off, but there's definitely a differential between the two looks.
I think, I bet if I had to bet you anything, Teddy Long could pull it off, and I bet Titus O'Neil and Percy Watson could, too. Again, I'm not entirely sure why, but I bet they could, and I bet they'd all be a great six-man tag team.
Well, there could be that, but the other thing is, too, it's just the sophistication that The Miz is looking for, to me, doesn't come with an outfit like that.
No,
like, he always tries to dress dapper and, like, I'm a business guy and I can, you know, go out and do this. And, you know, Teddy Long kind of has a little more swagger and is just kind of happy with his spot and all that stuff. And, you know, and he has a different coat. Well, yeah, he has the long, he always wears the long coat.
Yep.
And the pants are always a little bit baggier than The Miz. Like, The Miz always tries to look like he's a lawyer or something like that, just a really nice, high-priced lawyer or something. And Teddy Long looks like you're kind of rent-a-lawyer or something like that, you know?
Nice. That's perfect. It looks like Lionel Hutz from The Simpsons. This is Simpson. Here's my card. It turns into a sponge when you put it in water. What was I going to say? I don't fucking know. It had to do with Miz and something else. Actually, let me... Here's a fact.
Okay, go.
I was going to say, here's a fashion tip. Don't wear a CM Punk shirt and a John Cena armband.
Oh, my God, was that confusing. Only made more valid by the happenings at the end of the night, so...
Right, yeah. Well, let's talk about that, too. So, they went through all these machinations of backstage promos. I'll run through a couple of these, then, and then I'll have you get to what you're going to say.
Okay.
They run through, like, segment after segment of these bullshit backstage promos that end up leading up to the main event. Wow, shock of shocks. Eight guys are talking shit about each other, and it turns into an eight-man tag at the fucking last second. I don't know, the crowd even care? Or, I mean, at that point, to me, I think I've seen enough of these where it's just like you're watching TV at the arena. Not really a crowd killer at that point, is it? I mean, it's just kind of there.
Yeah, like, I guess I didn't even think about it. The show, to me, was running pretty smoothly. And, like, it kind of dawned on me. I'm like, hold on, they haven't announced the main event yet. And, like, it didn't even, I guess as soon as Del Rio and Cena started joining, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, okay. And, yeah, and I mean, everyone was kind of happy about it.
Sure.
But I guess I didn't answer the one question, and this kind of ties into the main event there a little bit. The Pops, and you were asking about Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, who did I put number six? Oh, I put Drew six. Okay, let's bump Drew from six to seven.
Okay.
And we'll put Zack Ryder in at six.
Okay.
Five would be Air Boom. Who the hell else did I say? Who else did I have in mind?
We got Orton, Punk, and Cena, I'm sure.
Yeah, Orton and Punk, or Orton and Cena are probably 1-2, depending upon, like I said, like, it was kind of crazy. Like, it was just a lot of reaction there all at one time for Cena. Like, a lot of the boos, to me, blended in, like, in the arena. Like, you might have been able to tell more distinctly on TV.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
You get the own category for all these. It's like whenever they do the top three reactions, it's usually Pop and then Heat. And it's like, okay, maybe Cena gets his, you know, these three get the Pop, these three get the Heat, and this guy gets the Cena. Well, who got that? Oh, it was John Cena. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So Cena probably got the most reaction, and then it would have been Orton as far as just definitely majority with him.
I'm sure
then,
Hunter's in there, too. I'm sure Hunter's somewhere up in there.
Yeah, he was up there. Okay, maybe that's who I was thinking of as four.
Yeah.
Honestly,
well, I'm
like,
sure it wasn't. God love him, but I'm sure it wasn't Jerry the King Lawler.
No, it wasn't. And that was kind of a strange thing happening, too. Like, I don't know if they changed the timing of when his match was going to be or not, because they introed Cole, or no, Jim Ross, everyone cheered. They introed Cole, and, you know, everyone started booing, and he smiled on stage, like, as soon when he was coming out. It was like one of those, I just love this reaction kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then he kind of put on the fake smile and started waving to everyone in the crowd. And then all at the like Justin Roberts introed both of them, and then at the last minute, it's like Jerry the King Lawler, and he didn't even get any music. It was just like, so everyone kind of cheered. It was like, oh my lord, what the hell is happening here? Like, and kind of looking back on it, you know, it was just like, oh, maybe that's what happened, is maybe they were planning on doing that a little bit earlier or something, and he was just going to stay in the back for the beginning, because Justin Roberts completely forgot about him, and it wasn't even like it was just Justin Roberts. His music didn't hit.
Wow. That's silly.
Yeah.
After all that time I spent right before WrestleMania trying to save Jerry Lawler's theme music, they can't even play it for him now.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, everyone forgot that he was supposed to come out for commentary.
God.
Yeah, so I guess Triple H works for four, Air Boom for five, and then Zack Ryder for six. And then
Drew
McIntyre.
Who later in the show would proclaim his affiliation with Christian in a backstage promo and then not be seen again for the rest of the night. It's funny to see some of the things that they sweep under the rug, just, you know, some things that are just there for testing purposes and some things that, you know, happen off camera and then get pushed back, or I don't know. The live experience for a TV taping is a very interesting one.
And that was one of the few things that I did actually listen to before we started recording here. And I guess this does get into the technicalities of Raw itself and whatnot, but I was fully amused that I'm not sure how many people are picking up on the logic, but Michael Cole siding with Natalya right now is just, in my book, absolutely hysterical.
That's great.
And I don't think anyone called him out. I don't think Ross or Lawler called him out, like, who, you know, probably a month ago was saying how shitty Natalya was.
Right. There, you know what? People say what they want to about Cole, and you know, 60% of it might be right 80% of the time. But, man, when he's on with some of this shit, like, the stuff that he says about the Divas and with the Divas to me is hilarious. I don't think I've heard one thing that he said in regards to the Divas that has made me, like, cringe or, you know, it's just great when their matches are over and he's like, oh, God, thank Lord in heaven. He can do no wrong when it comes to commenting on the Divas of the WWE. I'm not really seeing anything else. I feel like there was something.
Okay. You know what? This is who I was thinking of before. I wasn't even thinking of Triple H, honestly. There was one guy in the main event, Sheamus, who did not get an intro.
Wow. How'd they get around that? I just looked at the results.
Well, he ran down when Cena got attacked by the four guys.
Yeah.
He was one of the four guys running down. And I'll tell you what, especially when he got into that match, like, I don't think anyone really got a big pop as they were coming out since no one was introed.
Yeah.
But when Sheamus got his first tag, that place went pretty ape.
He's the man. He's got a lot of upside, and even as a babyface. And the thing is that he always put forth kind of a fun personality. Like, I'd liken him to, like, a Mr. Perfect, who I've always said, even when he was playing the baddest of the bad guys, you could always kind of see that twinkle in his eye and that smirk on his face, like he was having a blast doing what he was doing. And I feel the same way about Sheamus. You know, he's supposed to be this horrible, awful bad guy putting John Cena through a table and everything. But just the look on his face and the way he talks, it's like you can just tell a genuine appreciation for what he does. And to me, that translates easily into being a babyface and just that genuineness. You know, I'm not surprised that he got a huge reaction because he just makes a great babyface.
Yeah.
I want to know when John Morrison ran down to the ring, did he run down to make that save in slow motion? Was the hair wind whipping through his hair and thoughts of Melina dancing around his head?
Yeah, well, it did seem like it was in slow motion, but not in that good way where trying to make this look like Hollywood thing. It was just like, wow, you kind of seem to be hobbling on your way down to the ring. Is there something wrong with your ankle right now?
What a bone job. I can't fucking stand that guy. At least he was the first one eliminated in the match.
Yeah, that was a little surprising to me. But, and you had I had talked about Del Rio earlier for you to remind me.
Yes.
And he was another one. He drove in on my side of the arena there.
Uh-huh.
And I could barely see whatever the fuck the vehicle was that he drove in. But he was sitting there taunting people with the title belt.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a – and I don't know if it was – well, I think it was on camera – because I think they went to commercial break, and he got a pretty nice set of boos from our section. Because, I mean, I was in that section kind of closest to the floor. Because, they don't have any floor seating in that area, obviously, or else they wouldn't be able to pull out the car. Duh.
Yeah, right. Funny.
We were the section closest to him, and he got a lot of people booing at him, which I thought was kind of good, but he also probably got almost no reaction when he came, no heat when he came out. It was just like, okay, Del Rio's here.
I'm not surprised in the least to hear that. That's how I feel about him personally. Oh, there he is. Another warm body coming down the aisle, you know. He'd be easily replaced by a Ziggler.
Another
or a
warm
Swagger.
Body.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. And then I've seen a couple of different posts where at the end of the night, CM Punk and John Cena made their victory lap around the ring and kissed women and threw babies in the air. Anything else to report post-show? Or, I mean, I think that about sums it up for the off-air activity, doesn't it?
Like I said, they, if you haven't read my report, they, ended up, cornering, Roberto Rodriguez, really. Punk kind of got him back. Huh?
Ricardo.
Did
you
call him Roberto?
Yeah.
I don't know why I do that sometimes now.
I don't know. Unless you know a Roberto that owes you money, I don't know.
No. So, yeah, Punk kind of got Ricardo in the ring, and then just when he thinks he's getting off scot-free from getting an attitude adjustment from John Cena, he eats a GTS and then gets the attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, they tease the hand.
Then you hear this weird thing over the PA that goes, ba 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 da ba, and then...
Oh. Yeah, no, they tease the handshake for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
but then they ultimately went through with it, and Cena raised CM Punk's arm, and just, yeah, they did the victory lap, and yeah, CM Punk talked to some hot women and signed some autographs, which I thought was awfully nice of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
'Cause that's it. I mean, everything with him. I mean, that's the other reason why, A, I'd be cool with him laying off him a little bit. But,
mm-hmm.
B, it just, he's another guy. You were talking about Sheamus, like, genuinely wanting to be there. And, it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it. You can. I think you can tell with CM Punk, too.
Yeah. Yep, I think so.
He really wants to be there. He really enjoys it. And, you know, I mean, I didn't see anyone else there out signing autographs after the show was open. Granted, you know, no one's going to want it from Ricardo Rodriguez or Alberto Del Rio or anything
Alberto
like that.
Alberto Rodrigo, yeah. Very true.
But, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen that before in an event, you know, of that, you know, a taping event like that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe back in the day when I was going to the Jaffa Mosque in Altoona.
Right.
In front of a crowd of, like, 2,000 to 3,000, they might have done something like that. But,
sure.
I mean, I can't think of a time, you know, whether in Cleveland or down here, that I've seen someone sign an autograph after a show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe they'll go around and do little, you know, handshakes to everyone or high fives to people.
Right. You
but,
know what? That's
good. Nothing
don't
quite like
goodwill.
That.
I mean, why not, you know? You're pushing the guy as a baby face, I guess bring him, you know, next time they come back to town, maybe he'll get the proper reaction. Or, you know, TNA always gets a lot of positive reviews for the fact that their guys hang out and do autographs all the time. So why not?
Oh.
Why not WWE? I know that they think that their wrestlers are untouchable and they've got this humongous barricade in between their wrestlers and the crowd. But, you know, give back a little bit. I think it's cool, I guess. But I read about it,
yeah.
And I was like, whatever. But it's kind of cool in a way.
Yeah, well, and I just remember one of my friends had an economics class here at Ohio State. And they brought in some people from Nationwide Arena. And they said that the best people as far as fan interaction were wrestling companies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, you know, if they're running, and I mean, I know that was years and years ago. So, I mean, I don't know how much of it they, it seems like they still do a decent chunk of it. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that just seems like a good way to do things, you know, just, you know, be good to the crowd that you, that pays their money for you.
Speaking of which, Kevin DeFranco, would you go to a live wrestling taping again, given your experience this last Monday night?
Yeah. Like, I guess that was the other thing, and we'd have to get into it as far as the wrestling aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really kind of surprised. Like, I forgot to keep refreshing my Twitter.
Uh-huh.
But I was really surprised at how many people were shitting on the show.
Really?
Like, I think I enjoyed that more than I enjoyed going to SmackDown a couple of months ago, or 2-3 months ago, whenever I went to that.
Okay.
Like, I mean, as annoyed as I was with the fat people to my left and to my right, you know, I mean, I thought it was a good show as an overall whole. That's why I was just kind of scratching my head.
Yeah. Well, I think that happens with a lot of the shows, too, is the difference between live and TV, and some things translate and some things don't. So, once again,
well,
I guess, you know, you're a paying customer, and really that's what, you know, if the rating was a 2.9 or a 3 and people are complaining about it for some reason, hey, they still, you know, convince you to buy a ticket to the show, and you'll go back again.
Yeah, Yeah, no, it was a good time. I mean, it's the second live show. I meant to check to see when the last time they actually had a Raw here, but I did not rifle through my tickets to figure out when that was.
Yeah.
Because they definitely, I mean, I've been to a number of SmackDowns, but I Raw-wise, it's been quite a while since they came here.
Yeah.
They seem to love stopping off in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, or Cincinnati for the Raws, and then they head here,
right,
for the SmackDown taping.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think things are getting to a point too, and maybe with these Super Show concepts, that it'll kind of, you know, be six and one, half a dozen of the other. You know, some of these markets are going to get everybody, so I guess in that case, it might not really matter. You know, and I've seen. Probably, honestly, I think I've seen 8 or 9 Monday Night Raws in Des Moines, Iowa, and 1 SmackDown. So, you know, they are what they are. It is what it is. And I guess if you're having a good time, you're having a good time.
Yep, I can only hope for a pay-per-view sometime in the near future.
Yeah. There you go. All right, man. Well, if that's all you can think about, I think we hit our time, and as we were talking here, I was looking at various pop-up ads on ProWrestling.net and came across a trailer for Human Centipede 2. So I'm going to go watch that and eat dinner. And I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. If you're ready to call it a night, I'm going to let you do your sign-off, my brother.
Yeah, grandkids, since I was too dumb to have sippy time beers before Raw yesterday, I am going to go have a couple right now.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?